Welcome back to our podcast, Can We Talk About It, with Child and Family Services. I am here today with Caitlin.
Hi.
Caitlin, tell me what your role is.
Yeah, so I'm the program director for the Aspire program here at Child and Family.
Awesome. And how long have you been with Child and Family?
I have been here for 7 years. I started out fresh out of grad school with my MSW. I started out as a school-based clinician, and I did that for about 3 or 4 years, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And then I became a clinical supervisor, and then we were awarded the grant that became the Aspire program, and I became the program director for that.
Yeah. So tell me what you like about working for Child and Family.
It's so many things. I love that I get to go into the community and talk to people and hear people's stories. Like, mm-hmm. that is such an incredible privilege that people walk in the door and feel like they can trust that what they say is going to be like taken and understood and valued. And then I really love my coworkers, and I've always been really fortunate to have like amazing supervision here, yeah. and have people who see my potential and are like, hey, let's send you to this training. Let's have you, now that you have this skill, let's maybe see you try a different position. Mm-hmm. I honestly never, ever, ever saw myself as a supervisor. I loved being a school-based clinician. I thought I'd do that for my whole life. And I had a supervisor who just kind of like planted the seed and kept watering it.
Yeah. And I don't think people realize that, because even recently we've promoted 2 medical crisis clinicians into leadership roles. And I don't think people realize how often it happens within yeah. Child and Family, that we try to grow you into more yeah. of a leadership role
yeah.
so that there's that long term, right?
Right.
And you feel connected to the agency that you mm-hmm. work for, because you know that there's room for growth.
Yeah. And I mean, I think about even like, I've been here for 7 years and I've been promoted twice.
When I try to recruit, which I don't do as often now, right? But when I was doing a lot of recruiting for like the clinician roles and stuff like that, like I used to like say to people all the time, not only do you get free supervision for towards mm-hmm. your licensure, but this is a place where you could mm-hmm. potentially grow into a leadership role.
Yeah.
And for people to not feel like I'm just here, like I'm putting in 2 years as a clinician to get my hours and things like that. No, let's look at the long-term picture. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you see yourself in 2, 3, 4, 5
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
And this might be the place that you're at, right?
Yeah.
And if it's not, that's okay.
Right.
But know that there's so much opportunity for growth.
Right. Yeah. And something I appreciated too is, being able, like having a supervisor who could hear me and hear my struggles too, as like a new manager learning yeah. how to manage people. We were talking about this before.
Yeah.
It's totally different than working with clients.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it happened at the same time that I became a new mom. And so I was learning all these kind of new skills and managing
yeah.
new things in both areas of my life. And, excuse me, my supervisor was really able to like connect those things for me
yeah.
and just validate like how hard that is. But also even, I mean, I made so many mistakes as a new supervisor and manager, right?
Even now, right? We
yeah.
still say, am I making the right decision right now?
Yeah. But she was like, you know, this is part of growth. And it
yeah.
never felt like, oh, I can't tell my supervisor I did this or I messed up. It was always like, you
yeah.
know, I remember her saying, you're where I would expect you to be. Like, you're not perfect. You're growing. What did you learn from it? And so then that became the conversation.
Yeah.
And so it's not about like, there's not a focus on deficits. It's a focus on growth, which
right.
is exactly what we want to do for our clients
yeah.
too.
So it brings me to my next question, which is where you are currently in your position
yeah.
and what program you're overseeing.
Yeah. So I oversee the Aspire program, and which is a really, really cool, unique program.
I don't know a lot about Aspire.
Okay.
So I'm actually excited because
yeah.
I'm going to learn about Aspire
okay.
a little bit more than I actually know.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited too then, because I
yes.
love to talk about it. Anybody who knows me, like, I don't know how much time we have, but
it's
my baby. So, so I will say I'm involved, in adolescent substance use and kind of at two levels, I would say. One is the prevention level, and so that's Aspire, and the other is the clinical intervention level, the
mm-hmm.
therapy.
Right.
And that is a therapeutic approach called ACRA. And I can talk about both of those things. Mm-hmm. They're separate and distinct, but they, you know, we can kind of do both with the same. Yeah. So let me start with Aspire, because I think that's, you know, that's certainly my main role. So 2 years ago, it was 2022, we received a grant from BSAS, the Bureau for Substance Addiction Services. And what they want to see is they want to see substance use prevention work happening with young adolescents, so middle schoolers. And the reason for that is we know by extensive research that when kids start using substances, and what we primarily see at this age is vaping.
Yeah.
When kids start using when they're 10, 11, 12, they are much more likely to increase their use. The use becomes problematic. They may start using other more risky substances. That same research shows, of course, best case scenario, we wait till the legal age, right? But even if people start vaping or using substances in older adolescents when they're 17, 18, or early adulthood, what we tend to see is kind of a spike in substance use at that like young adult college age, right? And then it really tapers off and becomes, it doesn't develop into problematic substance use.
Okay.
So what we want to do is target that younger age and prevent, or at the very least delay, those kids starting substance use, because we know that that makes it much less likely that they would develop a substance use disorder in adulthood. And what I love, love, love about the program is it really looks at where kids are developmentally at this age. So,
because every child's a different, right? When you look at a 12-year-old, not both 12-year-olds are equal, right? And how they function and think and do things.
Absolutely.
And one 12-year-old might be starting to vape, and so might the other one, but they might be intellectually or majority-wise in a very different level, where one is able to have the concept of saying, ooh, maybe I do need to stop, and somebody else might not.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And it's so interesting because at this age, right, we do have some kids who have already, you know, started vaping or experimented with substance use. We have kids who don't know what it is. They've had no exposure. And so we get to meet all of those kids and really provide individualized services. But if we think about the developmental tasks that a middle schooler is trying to achieve, right? They want to belong. They're in that stage where they're still really like attached to their families, and they still really need their families and adults, but they're also trying to do things on their own and be more independent. They're trying to rebel a little bit and experiment and find out who they are. They just want to have fun. But they're learning about relationships. There's so much happening for them biologically, socially, emotionally, and they may or may not have learned how to cope with all of that. We all went through that. But when you and I were in middle school, we didn't
I was still playing with Barbies in middle school, believe it or not, and that is a true fact. Yeah. I would carry my Barbies to my best friend's house or vice versa.
Yeah.
I can't even picture middle school right now playing with Barbies.
Right.
Just because how much has changed.
Yeah. Well, there's so much easy access to substances, to social media. And we didn't have that. And if we did, we probably would have been doing it too, right? Yeah. It's not that, not to say
that. It's just that where we were at our time in our lives.
Right.
Like what was happening in society, what technology looked like compared to now.
Right.
And what was acceptable, right?
Yeah,
it wasn't uncommon for somebody to say like they were playing Barbies, right? Because of the fact that that was common. And people didn't make fun of you because of that, unless you had high school, you're still doing it.
That's And now it's not uncommon for a middle schooler to say they were vaping. And so it is more more accepted, unfortunately, and there it is easier to access. And so the goal of Aspire is to take all of that. That's all normal.
Yeah.
Kids, you know, experimenting, all of that, so normal. And I don't want to pathologize that. But we want to give kids the education, the skills, mm-hmm. and the opportunities to do all of that in a healthy way. So what does that look like? So we do, well, first of all, the Aspire staff are completely embedded in the schools.
Okay.
So we work in Keith, Roosevelt, and Normandin Middle mm-hmm. School.
Which are all local junior high schools.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Sixth, seventh, and eighth, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. And so they don't have an office here. All of the work really happens in the school and in the community because that's where the kids yeah. are. And so that's a big part of what we do is we want to eliminate any barriers to accessing these services. Mm-hmm. And people will ask me, like, who's a good referral? Like what, you know, who meets criteria? There is no middle schooler that can't benefit from these skills.
The services. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not therapy. It's not a replacement for therapy. Mm-hmm. If kids come in and
it's
they
an
need therapy,
platform.
Yeah. We absolutely will refer them to therapy and help them access those services if that's mm-hmm. needed. That's a big part of what we do. But it's really, this is something for every kid, every middle schooler. So the way the program is designed is there are kind of different components that we offer. So we offer one-on-one mentoring during mm-hmm. the school day. So once a student is enrolled, we have two success coaches in each of the middle schools, and they will pull the kids during, there are certain classes that are yeah. like non-academic classes that they're allowed to take students out of. So they'll meet with them, they'll work on goals, you know, just check in, like what's going on, what's happening in your life.
And building a relationship with them.
Yes.
Where the kids feel comfortable coming to talk to them.
Yes. And we are also, we have the privilege to be like really a long-term program. We can have kids mm-hmm. For their middle school career, which is amazing.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of programs.
Start from like that sixth, seventh, and eighth
yeah.
and see them, you know, leaving there to go to high school, but going with all this like knowledge mm-hmm. and that they will need to get to a place where it's going to be difficult for them.
Right. Right. And really like see and help them grow. We follow what we call a wraparound approach.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody who works in mental health knows that means like it's family voice and choice. So the family comes in, the child comes in, and it doesn't matter for, you know, maybe the teacher says, well, I need to work on this, or the school counselor wants them to work on this, but we are focused on what the child and the family want for mm-hmm. themselves.
So you're meeting them where they're at.
Absolutely.
You know, versus like, yes, you can hear what people have to say that they really want you to work at, but at the end of the day, it's where is this kiddo mm-hmm. at? Where is this family at?
Yeah.
And that's where we're going to meet them at.
Right. What's the work that the kid wants to do?
Yeah.
Because what we want them to learn is that there are trusted adults who will hear them and support them mm-hmm. in meeting their personal goals.
Yeah.
And who are we to say that, you know, their personal goals are silly or, you know, mm-hmm. because, you know, if you can remember back that time.
I can't even remember what my, I know I wanted to be a nurse. Well, we all know that didn't happen. I don't even know. We all had different goals, right?
Yeah,
and you
yeah.
thought like all these things. And then
yeah.
at one point, I think I wanted to go into the Air Force. Like there was
yeah.
so much that you think
yeah.
that you want to do, but you really haven't
right.
developed
yeah.
maturely
yeah.
to really think about.
And you don't really know what the world has to offer. But even
exactly.
thinking more basic, like having a fight with your best friend.
Yes.
Or having your first like romantic relationship.
Yeah, your first crush.
Madly in love. And then somebody like announces in front of your crush that you have a crush on them and it's the absolute end of the world.
Yes.
And you know, we're kind of laughing about it, but in that moment, it is
very
so
impactful.
So impactful. And you know, kids really need adults who can meet them there
yeah.
and understand that this is their life and their world,
yeah.
and that's okay. That's where they're supposed to be right now.
Yeah.
And so another great thing about having the staff in the schools is sometimes kids struggle in school. Sometimes kids get overwhelmed or they get anxious or, they, you know, get into conflicts with peers, and that can often mm-hmm. lead to them getting in trouble. But we have a really great relationships with all of the schools. And so the teacher can call the Aspire yeah. team and say, hey, Johnny's really struggling in class right now. He's kind of distracting some other kids. Could you come take him for a walk, help him calm down, and bring it back?
Yeah.
So we're able to really intervene in the moment.
Before it gets to a higher level where this yeah. child could potentially get themselves in trouble.
Right. And so then they're able to learn some skills in that moment. Okay, mm-hmm. if I take a break, if I process this with someone, I can go back. I can yeah. solve this problem. And how empowering is that mm-hmm. for a child? And then it's great for the school too, because it's one less discipline issue that they have to yep, have exactly. to deal with.
I don't think people realize, and that would also fall into prevention, right?
Yes.
How yeah. important prevention is, mm-hmm. I don't think people realize it.
Yeah. And if I had my choice, I would start this even earlier. I would say yeah. we should be in the elementary schools, because so much of what we do, and we were talking about this earlier, right? Where, our grant is from BSAS. It's their focus is substance use. And so ultimately our goal is substance use prevention, but that doesn't mean that we are talking about substance use all the time.
Right.
When we think about substance use prevention, we think about how can we build resiliency in our children mm-hmm. and decrease their risk factors. Risk factors for substance use are so much more than what we think of, right? It's just having difficulty coping with the feelings. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes kids will say, well, nothing helps me feel better faster mm-hmm. than taking a hit on my vape.
Yeah. And that's such a temporary solution.
Yeah. And it's not untrue. You know? Right. It's not untrue, but you're right. It's temporary. It doesn't solve the problem. Mm-hmm. We want to give kids the skills to cope with that feeling and solve the problem. And that goes back to, you know, to prevention. So if we can give them skills, problem solving skills, communication skills, coping skills, mm-hmm. life skills, it's also just learning about what they like to do, what they want to do, what they don't like. Because if we can connect kids to healthy activities in the community, going to the rec center, mm-hmm. you know, there are so many amazing resources in New Bedford.
That are free.
Yes.
That people don't realize yes. how much is out there that's actually, there's no cost to
right.
it.
Right. And so if we can connect kids to those things, then that prevents them from, you know, engaging in unhealthy mm-hmm. behaviors and activities. So that kind of gets into another yeah. component that we offer. We also have after school groups. You know, those are a mix of kind of what we call psychoeducation groups and just fun yeah. hangout groups.
Is that at the schools or is that here?
That's at the school.
Okay.
Yeah. So everything
so it's
that
easy
we
for
offer.
The kids to access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So all they have to do is day after school. Yeah. yeah. Show up. Typically each month there's a theme, and each school kind of sets their theme based on what's going on with yep. their kids, what's going on at that school. I know that one of the schools, I was just looking at their calendar before I came in, and the theme was communication. And so they had a really creative group on sorry, not sorry, about apologizing. And and they were role playing and playing
oh,
games
awesome.
And you know doing all these and
I think you should
know,
do that as adults as
right?
well, right? Sorry,
absolutely.
Not sorry. How do you apologize
yes.
and actually mean it?
Right. And that was one of the things they were talking about is that because they had these scenarios and the kids had to pretend that they had you know done this and
yeah.
then apologize, and so it was talking about how you apologize while being truthful, standing up for
mm-hmm.
yourself, being assertive. All these skills that, frankly, adults need to learn too. And so, you know, we think of that as being a basic communication skill,
yeah.
but many of us haven't had the opportunity to learn it. And so, again, if you can have good communication, know when to apologize, know how to stand up for yourself in an appropriate way,
mm-hmm.
then that leads to less stress, less problems in relationships, which big picture lessens the risk for substance use and builds up your resiliency. We also do a lot of fun, you know, there's cooking groups, there's arts and crafts. As the adults, we know we're always working on social skills, communication skills. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so important for kids to just try different activities.
Yeah, something. And sometimes like telling them like it's okay to be uncomfortable trying something new. Because, you know, I think yesterday when I was driving with Chandra, our COO, one of the things that she said is I say to my kids, once in a while, it's okay to sit feeling uncomfortable mm-hmm. about something, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never thought about it that way. Yeah. Like I always say, like, just because you're uncomfortable doesn't mean that you can't have good outcomes from it. But to sit with it for a little while, somebody will be like, I don't like that feeling. Mm-hmm. It's like, but sit with it. Mm-hmm. Try to figure out why you feel that mm-hmm. way, right? So try something new and mm-hmm. be like, I don't know about this, but try it. Yeah. Right. And you might surprise yourself and say, like, I really like this.
Right. And that avoidance instinct is natural for us because we mm-hmm. want to feel safe. We want to feel, again, think about a middle schooler, especially want to feel like we belong. Yeah. We want to feel like we're good at things. And if I'm trying something new and it's hard for me, that doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And it's so easy for, you know, I hate to sound like an old person with kids these days, right? But it is so easy to escape to our phones.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, or substances mm-hmm. when we feel uncomfortable. And so it's actually really healthy for kids to experience discomfort at times and sit with that and learn how to manage it and work through it.
And think about too, like when you look at addiction as a whole, right? You think about substances, but realistically, like addiction as a whole is mm-hmm. so many different components to it, like being addicted to your phone, right? Those kinds of things are like, that might be like, as you say, an mm-hmm. escape, right? Escape mm-hmm. to your phone, escape to vaping, what's, mm-hmm. you know, smoking, things like that. And I know I watched a documentary the other day. So when you said you wanted to start this, hopefully like it would be something like it should start in elementary school. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary on Netflix and it had to do like a prison setting and things like that. And one of the, two of the inmates were talking about like when they started using substances mm-hmm. and one of them was 8 years old and it was meth. And I was like, you know, I don't think people realize what's really happening out there. Yeah. And I always look at it as like, you have an 8 year old who started, you know, experimenting with mm-hmm. substances at such a young age and like, and look where he's at this moment mm-hmm. in his life. And where did we fail them mm-hmm. as a system, right? Mm-hmm. Where did we not do that prevention? Right, where did we not recognize the signs mm-hmm. that we should be there and support mm-hmm. these kids through really difficult times so that they don't go to that extreme? Right.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to say, when we talk about prevention, it's not just about saying, don't use drugs, they're bad for you. It's about giving kids replacement skills. I know so many kids who, well, my friend gave it to me and said it would help with my anxiety. I didn't know what it was. I wanted to fit in with my friends. So it's not just teaching them the drug refusal skills, which mm-hmm. is important. And it's incredibly critical, you know, as parents to have these conversations with our kids about what's out there. You know, if you're feeling uncomfortable, how do you respond in this situation? Who do you go mm-hmm. to if you're feeling uncomfortable? Not minimizing that, that's important. But even going further back, it's about teaching kids at a young age that feelings are okay.
Yeah.
We're going to have fights with our friends. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, have our first breakup.
Yeah.
We're going to fail that math test. Some of us are going to fail many math tests. And that, you know, we're going to lose people in our lives.
Like absolutely. How do you deal with that, right? How do you cope with it?
Feel amazing, wonderful feelings. And we're going to feel incredibly difficult feelings. How do we recognize what they are and cope with them in ways that are healthy? And not avoid them. Mm-hmm. And a big part of it is who's your support system. And so one of the things that we do too is we work with families. And so we offer family events, and some of them are fun. Let's get families together so they can meet each other. because how that's hard awesome. Is it to
and
raise
be
a middle
able
schooler?
To say like, oh wow, I can talk to this mom and I'm struggling with my child. Yeah. Like I built this relationship and I think they might know where I'm going through. Right. So let me ask you a question. As we're trying to wrap up our podcast here, because I think this is such a cool topic and I could ask you so many more questions. especially now I get it. I understand it. Right. Yeah. So if I am somebody that recognizes or say like I'm up a crisis clinician evaluating a child and saying, mm-hmm. they go to Roosevelt and mm-hmm. I really think that they would benefit from Aspire. How does somebody go about getting themselves enrolled in the program?
Yeah, great question. So we do have a referral form on our website and I can send you the direct link and you can do your podcast magic and make that happen. Also, all of the school guidance counselors and school adjustment counselors mm-hmm. are aware of the program. Okay. So a student could ask.
So a lot of the referrals will come directly from them.
Yeah. Okay. Most of our referrals do. A lot of our referrals come internally as well. I always say to internal staff, feel free to just email me. Yeah. you know, if the client is already a client of Child and Family, there's an easy, send me an email with the client ID number.
Yeah. So much easier.
I'll make it happen. Right.
Perfect.
If it's coming from outside, mm-hmm. then, we take referrals from anyone. The easiest way is to use the referral form on the website or ask the school to make the referral.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. I am so happy that you came.
Thank you.
I legit mean that because I've just learned so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like I can talk to like our crisis stabilization mm-hmm. unit for our kids, like the staff there and the mobile crisis staff to say like, hey, we really should tap into this.
Yeah. And I always say it's not a replacement for therapy, right? If when kids need clinical services, we want to connect them to clinical services, but it's an incredible enhancement because, and I was a school-based clinician for years and I still see clients. And, I know that I often say, I wish I could just like be a fly on the wall in the school cafeteria and see what's going on. Because when I'm meeting this kid in my office for 45 minutes, like I just can't get the picture.
Right.
But if a clinician can tell the Aspire success coach, you know, Johnny says that they're feeling really nervous in the cafeteria, not really sure what's going on there.
What's happening.
Yeah. And so they can really help do that work in the moment, in the setting.
That's awesome.
In a way that, you know, we don't always have the opportunity to do.
Well, Child and Family is very fortunate to have this program and be able to service the community and provide this to our kids in junior high schools, which is such a tough time in their lives. So I appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, absolutely.
This
Thanks
was a great,
me.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely have to bring you back again to talk about a little bit more. I know you guys do other things as well.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to talk about that as well.
Sure.
But thank you. I appreciate
you. Of course.
Anytime.